This is episode 39 of the Reading Coves podcast. If you're a book lover who may be interested in joining our online book club, please visit our website at thereadingcove.com. For February 2014, we're discussing The Arrangement by Suzanne Forster. So, hi, I am Millennia in Florida.
And I'm Roberta in Georgia.
And we are two members of the Cove who are here to talk about our February pick, February 2014, Cove pick, which was The Arrangement by Suzanne Forster, and it was chosen by Cove member Miriam, who I believe lives in Texas, right?
I think so.
I think she's in Texas, yeah. I'll start off by saying, because we've already kind of wrapped up our discussion about it, so the overall grade that we all gave it, it averaged out to a C. Most people gave it a C. I think there were like three people who gave it a B or a B minus. Everybody else, C's, and I think there were two or three D's, so it averaged to like a C average rating, average story.
Right.
So what did we think about The Arrangement?
Well, I think a lot of people, myself included, were disappointed. You know, it had an interesting premise about these mysteries and identity changes and everything. It didn't pan out. And I think the biggest complaint most people had, myself included, is there just weren't characters you could really relate to or that were empathetic or that you even could like a whole lot. They all had some serious flaws, and flaws are good. They make a story better, but in this case, it just, you couldn't connect. You just didn't feel, you know, really warm and fuzzy about anybody.
Right.
And too many of the plot points seemed like way too contrived and implausible.
Exactly. That was my biggest reason for why I couldn't enjoy it. Just like you said, the plot relied way too much on coincidences and, oh, it just so happens that. You know, it just so happens
right.
that this, it just so happens that that. It just felt like kind of weak or lazy writing or plotting. Because we were even talking in the group about ways that it could have kind of kicked up the intelligence of it a bit by not having so many coincidences, like having reasons to explain how these two women ended up in the ocean at the same time on the same day so that
right.
one could be mistaken for the other.
Right.
You know what I mean? There was like, it was just, it just so happens that, you know, they both ended up in the sea at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's possible, just not probable.
It's just, and then, okay, you have that premise, which starts the whole plot going, because Marnie gets mistaken for Allison, and Allison doesn't surface because she dies. Conveniently, Brett allows her to die. They were supposed to be, you know, colluding together to get their hands on this $100 million trust. She was supposed to disappear from the boat with her husband, Andrew. So she disappears from the boat, and then Brett is supposed to rescue her, you know, from this ocean, and he doesn't. He lets her drown.
Right.
And he's supposed to collect the money. But then Andrew goes looking for his wife and finds a body washed up on the reefs that's been disfigured and cut up by the reefs. So they assume that it's Allison.
Right. Because who knows? Because she's about the same size.
It's about the same size. And they are looking for a missing, you know, white female or whatever. And so they assume, oh, there she is. So they pull her out and have a plastic surgeon restore her face to the way Allison looked. How convenient.
Right.
And it also happens that Marnie is Allison's sister. They are actually related.
But nobody knows this.
But nobody knows this, exactly.
Until much later, towards the end. So you can see, you know, how it is possible, you know, because they would be have similar things.
Yes, and she happens to also be wearing a bracelet of Allison's.
Right.
Marnie is. So that just makes it very plausible that everybody would assume that that was Allison. These
yes.
two women who were not friends, who hadn't seen each other in years. It was just, yeah. And then, after she has the plastic surgery and she returns home with her husband, they're talking to each other. He calls her Allison. She answers to Allison. She's thinking in her head that I'm Allison. She's thinking that, you know, of her Allison's mother as her own mother. So for 100 pages, the reader is essentially fooled into believing that that's really Allison.
Well, yeah, because you're not told any otherwise, and there's no, like, any little foreshadowing at that point.
And it's silly that someone would know that they aren't Allison and still be thinking in their own internal dialogue in their heads that they are. So that's that kind of threw me out when suddenly on page, you know, 115 or whatever, Marnie decides to tell the reader, oh, I'm not really Allison Fair, whatever. I'm actually Marnie.
I know, you think like, what?
So I flipped back and I go back and I'm like, no way. Because they're talking to each other and there's all this tension, you know, Andrew and who you think is Allison, who's
right.
going by Allison. They're talking to each other and he calls her Allison and he says, your mother, we have to go see your mother and we have to go this and we can't. I mean, why would you be doing that if the both of you know that she's not really Allison?
Yeah, well, I mean, the only thing I could figure is like he was just trying to prepare the way to cover his own rear because he, like in most things where there's a death or especially when it's by quote accident, then who's the first suspect? It's the husband or the wife. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe he fears if he gets her prepared for all this other stuff, she can pass the test and people won't be the wiser.
Well, you know? That's true, but I just don't think but that still, they would stay still, in character.
Yeah, it's still a little bit too convenient.
24/7 for months. Weeks
right.
or however long, how much time had passed before they finally decided, okay, we're going to go see your mother, Julia.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
It was like, no, that was very poorly handled. I think it just doesn't assume that, you know, you have grown-ups reading this, I think.
Right.
You know? And so Lynette had suggested that it would have made more sense if Marnie had had some kind of amnesia.
Right.
And didn't remember who she was. And then Andrew could have used that opportunity to brainwash her and convince her she was Allison.
Yeah.
That, I think, would have made much more sense.
Because if she got banged hard enough to mash up her face,
yes.
then you very easily could have had a head injury that would give you at least either semi-permanent or temporary amnesia.
Exactly.
Because that happens all the time. That's real life, that you could get banged up and not enough that you wouldn't know who you were or where you were. And it might take you a long time to figure it out. And by that time, you've already had this other indoctrination. But yeah, I think she had a good point. That would have made the story more plausible and understandable.
More credible.
Yes, yes.
Because that's my thing. I know a lot of people can overlook things like that and still enjoy the story because we had a few members who still, you know, really enjoyed it and stuff. And I think Mary, who really didn't enjoy the book, but she said when she found that out, she like audibly screamed or something like, oh, my
yeah.
God, she's not Allison. And, you know, it's like, yeah, so this was supposed to be some kind of a big shock. But I think if she had had amnesia and he convinced her of that, then there you have great tension.
Right.
And you could have kept that a secret from the reader because Marnie was kept in the dark. As long as she's in the dark, we're in the dark. And then we're surprised later when she discovers she's not really Allison.
Right. Right. That would have been a better story. Yeah.
That would have been more Agatha Christie-esque, you know, like
right,
more,
right.
A little bit better more quality mystery.
Yeah.
Then we move on. So they, you know, concoct this whole thing that, you know, he's trying to protect himself because he has a history of wives croaking. Conveniently.
The Villard curse. Yeah.
And then she is, or she believes she killed Butch. Which was a guy who'd raped her. And then she thought she killed him, but she didn't. It just so happens that his father actually came and finished him off.
Right.
We find out later. So they both have reasons for, you know, maintaining that she is Allison and not Marnie.
To protect themselves from, you know, prosecution where they could end up getting the death penalty for all intents and purposes. Because, I mean, as Butch is gone, there's, you know, no one to, it's just her word against this dead person's that she was actually, you know, assaulted. So
exactly. They don't know that the real Allison has died.
Right.
They think she's out there somewhere and that she's behind
these schemes.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you have this FBI agent named Tony.
I don't know why they really brought him in other than to be, you know, someone else that was threatening their arrangement. But I don't know. He just didn't ring true for me either. He just seemed like too much of a you know, wackadoodle that... I mean, I know even law enforcement people can have issues and problems and they can get burned out, but... I mean, he just didn't have it together at all. He just didn't fit my idea of what an FBI agent should be like, either from TV programs or even seeing him on the news. You know, it's just you have to be a little bit more cool and calm to be in that kind of work, because they will kick you to the curb, you know, in a blink of an eyelash.
Yeah.
They're not going to let people that have anger management issues or that go off on wild tears.
Goose
like
chase.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loose cannon. Yes.
He was a very loose cannon. He was very unfocused. He was just all over the place and certainly not going about this on the level of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Not in a reasonable, you know, step-by-step method for sure.
Thank you. And I think, or even from an intelligence standpoint,
right.
I really just thought it was laughable. And I think if he were just an average, the brother of a guy who'd been killed, and you want to launch your own little civilian investigation, then that would be different. So,
right.
You know, he was Butch's brother, and, you know, he wanted to avenge his brother's death. And he also had ties with Allison and Marnie, and it was just all this convoluted mess. And
right.
He just, I mean, it was just like every time he would come on, I'm just like, oh my gosh, there's no way he was an FBI agent.
No, I mean, I could see you being mad that, you know, and upset, because even if your brother wasn't the nicest guy, he's still your brother.
Right.
And you know, you're upset that he's been killed and you can't understand why. But, you know, that's just not the way to go about it. There's other
competent.
Reasonable, and competent ways to go about it. And it'd be better for him to be kind of low key and people wouldn't, understand. They'd think, he's just, you know, come back because he's upset about his brother and taking some time off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could have done it on the, you know, down low and not have everybody all stirred up.
Who else did we have? We have the mother, Julia, and she was having, you know, all these meetings to have sex with the lawyer.
I know, that was just ew.
It's just strange and very kinky, strange role playing all over the place.
I know.
I was like, what? This just seems like filler. It doesn't even make sense. The explanation that comes later that, you know, she was trying to like control the trust through him or use
right.
him. And I'm just like, okay.
You know, if you have that much problem, you'd be better off going to like a court or something to
exactly.
to try to get back control if you felt like it was under out of control. But she was kind of a wackadoodle too, you know.
Very
she,
much.
I mean, we already see that she wasn't much of a mother. She was like a big control freak, and she might have had lots of money, but I don't think she was necessarily the sharpest tool in the shed either.
And even if she was the dullest tool in the shed, she would have known that Marnie was not Allison. She would have known this woman is not her daughter.
Yeah, I mean, because you could just, there's just like you'd said before when we were discussing it with the group, you know, a mother knows her child no matter what happens.
Exactly.
You know, they can change or whatever, but maybe, I don't know, maybe she wanted to make believe and be able to do stuff. And as it turned out, she was her daughter, but just not the legitimate daughter.
She's the daughter that she disfigured because she tried to abort her.
Right.
And she gave her away.
Right.
Yeah, it was a convoluted mess, and I felt absolutely no sympathy or empathy or anything because it just, I didn't buy it. I think that's it. I didn't buy into the whole story or any of the characters. And so it didn't connect with me emotionally.
No. So, but like I said, especially, I think someone else, I don't know if it was you or someone else, brought up the point that a lot of times when you have these people that are super rich,
mm-hmm.
you just feel like, well, this isn't going to be really true reality, because
right.
even real life rich people, they don't live in the same world we do. They live in their own little rich world and can't always relate to the average person and have a lot of like different little unusual lifestyles and look at things differently from the average person. So.
Yeah, but you can still read about, because, you know, you have like Jackie Collins who writes about
right.
the rich and famous, and it can be interesting. You know, she can give you a peek behind the curtain, so to speak.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, something like that. But yeah, but it's more like relatable. Think, oh, yeah, we
mm-hmm.
know people like that. And yeah, they have the money, but they have a lot of things going on. But yeah, you can still say, yeah, that you can see those type of people, unfortunately, in real life with these people that are celebrities. celebrities or the super rich people, but these people were just spoiled and they'd had everything handed to them on a platter, mm-hmm. and they didn't know how to act, especially Brett. I mean, besides basically resorting to, you know, murder by neglect or whatever you call it, voluntary manslaughter, whichever you want to do. You know, he didn't care about his sister. He just cared about the money, you know, and his appearances and everything. So he had, and part of it, you make your own choices once you get to be an adult, but he just hadn't had much of a role model in his parenting and had grown up in a kind of unrealistic way. So he might have had this bad genes to start with, but he sure didn't, you know, try to change any either.
No, and he was a despicable guy because, you know, he had a camera in his sister's room their whole time growing up, and he would just sit there even now as an adult and masturbate to his sister online or pictures of his sister. I was just like, why do we need so much page time with such a despicable character?
I know.
He's not even worth the ink on the paper.
I mean, he definitely was a pervert, you know, with a capital P.
Oh, yeah. So. Why do you want to read about that? Even at the end, when they did the whole sting operation and Marnie was pretending to be Allison, you know, dragged out from the sea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is he really going to believe that she's been at sea all this time?
Right.
And it's like 6 months later, she convinces him that she's really Allison. And even then, he was just being disgusting.
I know. But I mean, I'm sure there's people like that, but you don't want to read about him necessarily.
But he was, you know, when he was killed by the SWAT team, it's like this whole thing was written like to try to make him out to be sympathetic, I felt. Like, really? We're going to feel sorry for him?
No.
Absolutely not.
It's not like you believe that anybody deserves to die, but he was just, you know, doomed from the start. He just had too many things against him and cared about no one but himself.
He killed Allison, the real Allison.
Well, and didn't even, you know, feel any guilt about it. It was like, he got the idea. He just thought, well, I have to do this if I want to get this money.
Yeah. And on the positive side, the members who did enjoy it say that, you know, they just had to, Miriam picked it and she did enjoy it.
Yeah.
She said that she just, you know, wanted to keep reading to find out what was going to happen. And, you know, that's pretty much the one positive aspect that people spoke about, that they did want to find out where it was leading and what would end up happening.
I mean, that's how I felt, too. I think, well, this has gotten all these different little plot devices and contrivances. But I, besides the fact that I had to do our trivia quiz, so I had to finish it, didn't have much choice. But still, there's part of you thinking, well, even though this isn't, you know, the best mystery I've ever read, I've got to finish up here and see how they, you know, get themselves out of all these different situations. And and at least you figure you did the one redeeming thing, too, is even though he wasn't the greatest person, at least you found out that Andrew, that even though he'd had a rocky relationship with Allison, and you could see why, that he did come to care for Marnie. He did have a tender side to him. He did come to, you know, care for her. Though you wonder if she hadn't, he probably wouldn't, you know, have developed this relationship if she hadn't been all fixed up, if she still looked like her own, you know, former disfigured self.
No, absolutely not. And I think, too, he was never a bad guy, quote unquote. His character was like used to, you know, be as a red herring, like to kind of make, oh, but I never bought that. I mean, I always knew that he wasn't the bad guy.
No, because like even with his first fiance, that Regine, mm-hmm. that it wasn't his fault. It was evil Allison's
exactly
fault, you know. So because you think, well, maybe, yeah, there is some curse, because sometimes you hear about these families and you think, wow, they must be cursed because they just have one horrible thing after another happen mm-hmm. to them. But I don't think so. I think it's just, you know, this life, and bad things can happen to good people. But in this case, it's like bad things happen to people who are connected with evil people.
Exactly.
So, because, you know, Allison was determined to have Andrew at all costs, too. You know, mm-hmm. wasn't going to let anything stand in her way. That she and Brett were both alike in that respect, that, you know, they would do anything to get to their goals, and didn't matter who or what was in their way. But, and unfortunately, that's one thing that is, you know, true to life in that, because a lot of people will walk all over or climb all over people to get ahead. It's all about them, which is sad, but that's life too.
And then we had Rebecca, the maid,
uh-huh,
who was, at the end of the day, up to nothing more than trying to write a tell-all book.
Right. Well, you see that on the news.
You do see it on news, but the way the plot used her so overtly to right. make it seem like she was involved in way more than anything like that.
You think she was. She had to be dedicated to want to get the facts for her
book. I know.
Because, boy, Julia and Brett just treated her like dirt.
Dirt, exactly.
I mean, most people say, hey, you don't pay me enough for me to put up with this garbage. I'm out of here. But she was going to take it because she feared she could stand some pain for a while if she had some good, juicy stuff to write a story about. And people will buy things like that. You know, they'll eat it up. But it could have been a much better book. It could have been at least a B book if mm-hmm. the author had used. I mean, I'm not the editor or whatever professional, but I've read so many books over the years. You feel like you have a little bit of knowledge of things.
Yes.
But I think the author could have made it a lot better book if she had used some of the points we pointed out in our online discussion. And then as we've discussed today in the podcast, it could have been better than it was. So you just have to, you know, get a style that appeals to people more, that doesn't rely so much on implausible contrivances. You know, you can have some funny things to happen,
right?
But it could still be like a little bit more fun and better written, and even if it's a serious book.
Absolutely. I think that's what sets a quality mystery apart from an average one.
Right.
All right. So that's going to be our chat on The Arrangement by Suzanne Forster. Thanks for joining us and tuning in. And leave us your comments if you've read this book or if you're a fan of Suzanne Forster. And stay tuned for our next episode. We'll be discussing We Are Water by Wally Lamb. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.